Amen. 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 We wouldn't know what a father was, what a true father was, except it be for him. Amen. 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 Wonderful. Well, it's so nice to be here tonight, and I'm thankful that each one of you are here. As has already been mentioned, probably about two-thirds of the church is literally scattered across the nation tonight. We've got some of our young people up at a camp in Michigan, and we got folks in California, and soon to be in North Carolina, and Virginia, and Texas, and who knows where else, but we're here. Amen. Amen. And it's not about numbers. It never is. Amen. I'm never disappointed when I come to visit with him. Amen. And to hear from him and to worship him and to thank him. And he said, where two or more are gathered, there will I be. So we can count on that. And we're so thankful for it. And can't believe another year has gone by. Just seem to go by quicker and quicker each year. I guess maybe that has something to do with my age. Maybe not. Things are certainly moving faster as time goes on. But I am getting older, too. But, you know, we started the new year last year putting him first and praising him and worshiping him and communing together. And we're going to end the year that way and start the next year the same way. Amen. So I'll save you all the "I'll see you next year" kind of jokes. We're thankful to have our brother Freddie Hatfield with us tonight. Amen. And his lovely wife who sang for us. We appreciate that. And it's nice that we can have special meetings and get to see each other once in a while, because that's about the only way we can get together. You know, we're about 100 miles apart, I guess. There are people that are, over in Marana that I don't see very often either. So it's, we all have, they have a church and they have their hands full there. And certainly we do here. So we thank the Lord for the opportunities that we do have to come together and to worship together. So thank you, musicians. God bless you. We will sing, "He Counts the Stars" as our brother Freddie makes his way up. Amen. You ready to hear the word? Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. You believe that? He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. I'm counting on that tonight. Tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear. was my name. Yes, He does. He knows my name. I'm counting on it tonight. Amen. He knows my name.
Glad He knows your name.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here with you once again. And as we, as Brother Doug was mentioning, we was here with you last year and ushering in another year. And here we are again. And this seems like a couple days ago. And here we are again. Amen. Just, time is rapidly passing by. And I got a few more gray hairs. But we're heading the right direction. Say amen. Certainly good to be here with you tonight. And we greet you all in the name of the Lord and from our little church there in Phoenix. And as Brother Doug said, well, we got a lot out. And I said, that's okay. If God's here, that's all that matters to me. I'll preach to two or three the same as I would 300. Amen. If God's here, amen. So we just... good to be here with you. Appreciate Brother Doug, Sister Jennifer inviting us over. And as always, just call this our Tucson family. Amen. So we just always an honor to be here with you tonight. And amen. Just may we just bow our hearts just for a moment and speak to the author. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for another opportunity. Lord, here we are about to usher in a new year. And Lord, you've kept us thus far, oh God, and we know you will continually to keep us. And Lord, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, and we draw strength from you, Father, as your word tells us, Father, for you are the vine and we are the branches. God, may we be energized tonight from that great vine, Lord Jesus. Oh God, from your storehouse, may you pour out your spirit among us. God, use this vessel of clay that you may anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearer that's here. We give you praise and honor for this gathering tonight, Lord. We pray, God, for Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer, this lighthouse here. God, you continually to bless it. Strengthen our brother and sister as each one labors, oh God, to see the end result. Father, we're looking for that day, oh God, for your appearing. God, may you come among us now in a great measure. Bless your children that have gathered here today. May you move the insufficiency that's in ourselves out of the way, oh God, that you may come, the all-sufficient one you are. Heal the sick. Deliver the captive, Father. Oh God, bring healing to those that are among us, those that are online, Father, watch it. God, your word has no limits. And Lord Jesus, we look to you tonight now. I give you myself, Lord Jesus. And we ask you these things in our precious, lovely name, the name of our Lord Jesus. And his children say,
amen.
Amen. You know, I believe y'all probably know that little chorus. I was thinking about that. I give myself away. Let's sing that little chorus. I thought that'd be... Give myself away. Yeah. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. I give myself away. Can use me, here I am, here I stand, all my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm longing to see
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yeah. Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart. I give myself to you. Oh, sing it with all your heart now. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua. Amen. Just thought, you know, when Brother Doug had called us over and invited us, and this scripture came to me, and no more than what Brother Doug had sent in the invitation to come. And Joshua chapter 3, let's just begin reading with verse 1. Amen. Just say amen if you're there tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Joshua chapter 3. And beginning with verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, and ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight, and if we could... we could title our thought this evening, we want to speak on, ye have not passed this way before.
Amen.
We can all say amen to that. I thought that was, my, what a fitting scripture. We're about to go into a place we've never been before. But yeah, here we see that Israel, under the commander of Joshua, was about to go to a place that they have never been before. And, you know, we thought with great anticipation, you know, Brother Branham said that when Joshua the commission changed because the ministry of Moses was could only bring them up to the promised land. And then the commission changed that Moses, Joshua's commission was to take them into the promised land. So the commission changed, but it not only, it was a greater commission, and Brother Branham said a greater responsibility than what Joshua, or that what Moses had. But because, you know, I want you to understand, because they're about to go into a place that we would look at in this aspect tonight that it's unfamiliar territory. It's somewhere they've never been. And yet we realize that under the commandment of Joshua, yet under the great commander-in-chief, which is God, he gives Joshua the commandment. And Joshua just follows exactly what God tells him to lead them into this place. As we said, they've never been before. And, you know, I thought it was very striking, because here we see that the following of the men, or the people in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, it said there was a space between you and it, which was about 2,000 cubits by measure. Now, if someone would understand that in phrase, well, we're talking to some hunters here tonight, so we could use it in yardage. It was like 880 yards, which was about a half a mile. So they separated themselves. In other words, they was given a commandment to keep their eyes upon the ark.
Right.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
And I believe, as we see here this evening, that in verse 3, he tells them that he said, "And then ye shall remove from your place and go after it."
Yeah.
So their commission was to, you got to follow the ark.
Amen.
You're about to go into a place you've never been before. You need somebody that's going to lead you there.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
A place you've never been before. We need somebody that we can divinely have confidence in.
Amen.
That's going to lead us there.
Amen.
It's not about whether we know where we're going. We better know where our leader's going.
Amen.
Are you with me now? Now we see that Joshua was under a great commission to lead the people into a place that they've never been before. And now we see, according to, and I thought it was striking, as we know we've heard these things preached before, and how that, you know, of all the times that they come to the Jordan, we think, well, that doesn't sound like a hard thing to ask, that he would invite the Israelites. Okay, we're going to cross Jordan. That doesn't sound like a hard thing to do. But of all the times that God would tell them to cross the Jordan, Brother Doug, it was always out of his banks. I mean, it was always flooded. Of all the times he would tell them, here, we're going to cross in an area when it looks like it's impossible.
Right.
And, you know, according to even places that Brother Bam said that mentioned it in a study, I was reading this article about the time that they would cross. There was areas that it was some 30 to 40 foot deep.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't just an ankle deep water, but they was about to go into water. It was deep enough to swim in. But yet this was the commandment that God had given. But to understand that who went before the people was the Levites, qualified men of God, that was stand true, and to hold that ark. And the people's was to keep their face upon the ark, to keep their face upon the word. And I believe that God is telling us tonight, according to the commission of Joshua, which is the Holy Ghost, that was sent to keep our eyes focused upon the Word.
Amen.
Not to veer to the left or to the right. But we're to keep our eyes upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
Because we're about to go into places that we've never been before.
Amen.
How many believe that tonight?
Amen.
Because we see, according to the commandment that Joshua gave. Because if we look in the next verse, in verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said unto the people," he said, "sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will," what? He's going to do wonders among you. Now here the word sanctify means to consecrate, to prepare, to dedicate, be holy, separate. So to sanctify yourselves, and the scripture comes to mind in John 17:19, where Jesus says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself."
Right.
that they also might be sanctified. How? Through the truth.
Amen.
So we see that Joshua is telling the people, you got to sanctify yourselves. You got to separate yourselves from everything else.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
That to keep our eyes focused, because we're about to go into, as we said, unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
And I want you to do, I want to just read something to you. And I thought they're not going this way before. They had to follow the exact route that was chosen. Where the priests were to walk into the water, God wanted them to know exactly where they must cross. Now I want you to understand, they was following the priest carrying the ark a half a mile behind them. And they had to keep their eyes focused. They couldn't be distracted. Church, I'm going to tell you, this is an hour of distraction. This is an hour that there's every kind of voice you could think of. It's out there trying to distract the children of God. But I believe that the sheep will know the voice of God. They will not be distracted. Whether it be signs and wonders. Remember, Dathan and Korah had signs. Amen. But there was one that God ordained. And God ordained Joshua. Regardless of the signs that were among them, God ordained Joshua. And here we want to see, and according to Scripture, that what we see is, we're going to get it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we realize that God ordained Joshua for this exact part of the mission. Now we realize when the ark was visible, the guide had to be visible to ensure that they wouldn't cross in the wrong place.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Church, they couldn't just say, well, this looks like a good place to cross. No, that they were under commission to follow the ark. They had to follow the men that God had chosen.
Right.
That where they must cross. In unfamiliar territory, you need a guide. Come on, you brothers, ever went to a place you hunted before and you never knew anything about the area? Well, you know, we find out oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble when we don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're at. Well, we need a guide that's been there before.
Amen.
Are you with me? And God sent a vindicated mouthpiece in this hour that had been there before.
Amen.
And he said it was like the story of the circus when he could look over there and tell you, hey, this is a giraffe. I see an elephant. I see this or that.
Yeah.
And he could relay the message back to these that wasn't quite as high as he was.
Amen.
So God sent a guide in this day. Are you with me? Now we know the guide is the Holy Ghost. It's not the man. But the Holy Ghost was sent to be a guide to us. That we would follow the guide. And we know our prophet was a hunter. And he tells a story. Oftentimes he says, you know, he thought he had a bunch of pride. And I know where I'm going. And I'm a hunter. You know, I'm not going to get lost. And he gets out there and he gets lost. He gets out there in an area that he thought was familiar to him. Now, how many of you brothers have been in the woods far enough in the deep country where people don't drive around? You have to hike in there. I was just in some of those areas a couple weeks ago. If you can't drive to it, that's the majority of the hunters. They're not going to go in there. But I mean, I was walking in places that most people wouldn't walk. Climbing over rocks that most people said they would have stopped right there. But here we see the prophet got in the area. He thought, you know what? I'm not going to get lost. And he gets up in this area and we know what took place there. He began to think, you know, first he had to realize, hey, I'm lost. How am I going to get out of here? And things start coming back to his remembrance. I remember we was up here not too long ago, a few years ago, and we run a phone cable through here.
Yeah.
We know the story?
Yeah.
He began to think about it, but it was the storm and everything was moving. So what did he have to do? He had to raise his hands.
Yeah.
The storm was coming in and he couldn't see nothing. But he had to find something that he could get a hold of.
Right.
He had to find a point of contact. Are you with me? And sometimes we may not see the point of contact because of the storm. But if we would just raise our hands to God.
Amen.
Brother Doug, he was feeling around there. He said, I know it's got to be here somewhere. Oh, he kept feeling around and all of a sudden he grabbed it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not Because now I found where this leads. It leads right back to my cabin where my family is.
Right.
Oh, and he realized that he wasn't lost no more. But I'm going to tell you, church, it's a scary place to be to realize you're lost. But God has sent us a guide. Are you with me? He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll lead, guide, and direct you into all truth. So here Joshua is preparing the people because they're about to go into a place, as I said, they've never been before. But how dangerous it was that for them to choose their own place to cross. They had to only cross where the priests were. Where the men of God was that stood firm. Now as we go on and continue reading in the scripture. For we just remember the part in verse 5. It says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Oh man. The wonders, the word wonders here in the Hebrew means extraordinary. That sounds like my God. Extraordinary. Beyond one's power. In verse 6 it says, and Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. They stood before the people lifting up the word. It's not about lifting one another up. But we were sent to lift up to Christ the word. He said, you lift me up and I'll draw all men to me. Amen. It's not a message about a man. It's a message about Christ. Can you say amen? Oh, church, listen. He said, and the Lord said in verse 7 now, as we see, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Amen.
See, it wasn't man magnifying man. God said, I'm going to magnify you, Joshua. It don't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm choosing you for the position. And I'm going to magnify you in front of the people.
Amen.
Amen. And the word magnify means to promote. Make powerful to do great things. Man, I tell you what, if I want anybody's endorsement, I want God's endorsement. It's not about him being endorsed by a man. Can you say man? And I say that we need God's endorsement. As Jesus said in, if you read Luke 9:35, the scripture comes to me talking about here where Jesus stood and he said, here is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Hear ye him. See, he got God's endorsement. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I want to read that again to you. This day will I magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Now, church, we ought to be able to put our name here tonight. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Amen. And thou shalt command the priest, in verse 8, thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still. I like that. And the brink means from the edge, starting ankle deep. So what was God doing? When the priests get in their position, I want them to stand still. And I'm going to say a word to the ministers just for a moment. As ministers, as pastors, some people don't understand the labor. Some people don't understand. I've told my wife that. I said, you'll never understand. She can say amen. You'll never understand. Because here he says to the ministers, stand still. Well, when you're under pressure, sometimes it's hard to stand still. When you're being criticized, it's hard to stand still. When you're being falsely accused, sometimes it's hard to stand still. But the word says stand still. And he said, don't try to retaliate. He said, I'll take care of it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So stand still to the ministers.
Amen.
The weights, the trials, the adversity,
yes.
The opposition.
Right.
And I'm not going to leave this out. Sister Jennifer, when God called Brother Doug, he called you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just the man.
Right.
I tell people this. When we go somewhere and minister somewhere, I said, when my wife, you see my wife preaches way before I do. You see her before you see me. And that's going to be a reflection of who I am. Are you with me now? So now we see as the ministry, he said, ye shall stand still. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. You know, the word stand still means to surrender control. Trust God. Sometimes it's not easy. Because you're trusting where you've never been before. Come on, church. You're trusting where you've never been before. You're trusting in places you can't see. That's why it's a faith. It's a walk of faith. Can you say amen? You know, could you see the earlier part of Brother Ben's ministry when he operated by vision?
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this to you. That would be easy to walk by vision. Because, this hat's got to be in a certain place. This coat's got to be in a certain place. This man over here, he's got to sit in a certain colored chair. This sister here, she's going to walk in here with a calico dress on and sit here. Mm-hmm. So when all that happens, you know, and God's going to move and he's going to do this and this.
Yeah.
Well, see, you don't have to, it takes all the guesswork out of it.
Sure, sure.
But see, when his ministry began to change, God said, I'm not going to do that no more.
Right.
Now you're going to have to walk by faith.
Right.
See, it's a lot different when you have to walk by faith, when you don't see the outcome or the next step.
Right.
So church, that's where God's taking this bride in this day. You're walking places you've never been before.
Amen.
But we got to trust him. How many trust him tonight?
Amen.
When he said, stand still, Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
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 Exodus 14:13, what did Moses tell him? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Israel was in turmoil. They was nervous. They was scared. Because here they stand at the Red Sea. And the enemy coming in heavy behind them. What are we going to do? There's opposition here. And there's opposition here. And Moses said, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
So if we could see that God is in control, church. It's, you know, sorry, I'll say it like Brother Bram said. He said, we believe that God's going to take care of us. It's not our business to figure out what else is going to happen. It's our business just to trust him. Can we say
amen?
Now if we read in verse 10 of Joshua 3. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. And that he will without fail.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what without fail means? Absolutely predictably.
Amen.
God is predictable. If he done it one way, he'll do it again.
Amen.
If he delivered back then, he'll deliver now.
Amen.
If he can break the prison walls down, he can do it now. If he can rattle the walls of Jericho until they're flat as a pancake, he can do it now.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hereby ye shall know that the living God among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And the word drive means to seize, take possession. See, God's not looking for just professors. There's a lot of people that profess Christianity. There's a lot of people that profess that they follow the message. But see, God's looking for possessors. I believe Brother Bannon preached a sermon, talked about possessing the gate of the enemy after trial. He didn't say professing. He said possessing. God's going to have possessors. Can you say amen? And the only ones that are going to possess are those that fully follow the Word of God with everything that's in them. And to realize that the Scripture said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by thy Spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So to drive, amen. He's going to drive out the enemy. He's going to drive out fear tonight. Come on, church. He's going to drive out anxiety. He's going to drive out suicidal thoughts. He's going to drive out church division. Come on, these ain't things that God ordained to be in the church of God. God's coming back for a bride that's healthy. That's super, a super church. Can you say amen? A church that's taking possession of what's hers. Church, it's time we occupy what's ours. It's our inheritance. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Healing is our inheritance.
Yes.
Our children, our inheritance.
Yes.
God, give it to us.
Yes.
Why don't we start claiming what's ours?
Yes.
Start taking a hold of the Word by faith.
Yes.
And walk in it.
Amen.
What did God tell Joshua? Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, that shall I give you.
Amen.
What is footsteps? Possession.
Amen.
It's time we start taking some footprints.
Amen.
Amen. Here we are coming into another year. I don't want to go back to 2025 again. No. And when we start this new year, The year is past.
Right.
We don't go back to that.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're going forward.
Right.
Amen. When they crossed the Red Sea after it parted, and when Moses turned around and he told those Israelites, he said, I want you to turn around and I want you to look at your enemy for the last time. Because
right.
After today, you'll see him no more.
Amen.
Church, we're longing for a day that the enemy will no longer see no more.
Amen.
The trials and the testing, all it is building our character.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen?
Oh, it's molding us. Amen. And we're about to go into a place that we've never been before.
Amen.
Are you really ready to go into a place you've never been before? Oh, church, I'm going to tell you sometimes that I believe that what we need to do is, like Brother Ben said, he said the difference in this trip and what Brother Andrew and them are taking is that they had to pack to go on that one.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this one we're about to take is we're unpacking.
Amen.
Amen. We ain't taking nothing with us.
Right.
We ain't taking our fears and our anxiety and all these things with us, but we're stripping ourselves that we can be equipped with the Word of God.
Amen.
That nothing's going to hold us back. The problem is the enemy, he's been squatting too long. Come on, church. You've let him squat on your property so long. You know, the state of Arizona, that they call it adverse possession. And you can stand before a judge and he'll tell you, you abandoned that property. So now you've got a squatter on it that has rights. Huh? Oh, yeah. A squatter has rights. The devil has rights if you let him stay there. Brother Brad said he has a right to stay there. You can come up and be prayed for. Every time the doors are open, Brother Doug can pour the whole bottle of oil on you. And it ain't going to do no good. Because you give him the right to stay there. But when you're tired of being sick and tired, when you want to be delivered and set free, amen, and you're tired of being chained down by the devil, come on, church.
Come on.
The problem is today, there's so many windows that people open and they don't realize it's windows to devils.
Amen.
This ain't on my notes. This right here. Amen. A tool of the devil. I might as well say it, Brother Doug. I say Brother Branham said this. He said, you Pentecostals, the devil got one over on you. I'm just quoting what he said. You used to go to the picture shows and you wouldn't go. So now he put one over right in your living room. Now, is that what he said? We're still talking about going to a place you've never been before. But he also told them to sanctify themselves. Now I'm going to say this right here is worse than the TV. You know why the difference is? When you leave your house, when you had a TV, well, the TV don't go with you. But when you leave your house, this right here is in your pocket. And I don't want to forget my phone. Gotta forget. Oh, did you forget? Well, it's okay if I forgot my Bible. I got my phone. It's sad, isn't it? I know that's not a place to joke, but that's the hour we're living. It's the tactics of the enemy. Social media, video games. These things have wreaked havoc on spiritual walks. Where are we at, church? Come on. You see people sitting in the church and they'll read their Bible on their phone and won't even read it the old-fashioned way in a Bible. Come on, church. We're talking about going to a place we've never been before. But he also said we got to sanctify ourselves. We got to set aside all those things, the weights that so easy beset us. Paul said we're running a race. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easy beset us that you can run a race. And you run that you may obtain. Come on, church. We're trying to obtain something. To obtain an incorruptible crown. A robe that's not moth-eaten. Amen. Don't you love him? Oh, church, he's coming for them that love his appearing. Oh, church, think about it. Listen, he said in verse, let's read down a little bit here, verse 13. Amen. Verse 13, chapter 3, and it says, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now, I'm going to read a quote to you here, if that's all right. Here, you see, Brother Bram's talking about this in the message, the greatest news flash in history. He said, every place the sole of your foot steps, that's possession. He said, brother, them footsteps mean possession. Let's keep walking into the promised land, not looking back to see what will happen back there and what somebody else is doing. We get worried about what somebody else is doing. Come on, church. I'm not saying don't worry about him, but there ought to be a concern in our heart for him. Amen. Is an intercession. The Holy Ghost is an interceder. Amen.
Amen.
Our brother said here, he said that we look at this situation. He said that what happens, God told them way down in Egypt, I'll give you that land. But he didn't say I'll go out there and sweep it all out and garnish the houses and hang up curtains and everything. You all just move in. No, no. He said they had to fight for every inch. That's it, right? Fighting. Fight every inch. That's the same thing today. Divine healing belongs to us. The Holy Spirit belongs to you. It's our property. But you got to fight every inch to get it. You know, the thing about it is we can go to a good meeting and the Holy Ghost is moving. And it's a fight to get it. And it's a fight to keep it. Amen. I'll say what Brother Ram said. He said, church, he said, if there's no fight in you, if there's no fight in you, you need to get out of the game. Yeah, there's no fighting this. Because this guy right here, he'll give up. But this Holy Ghost in here, he don't give up. It don't matter what trials comes against you, what pressures comes against you, there's an anchor and a hold and a solid rock. Oh, the ship may be tossed everywhere, the anchor may be tore, but there's an anchor that's grounded in a rock. You better be anchored in the rock tonight, church. There's no other place that's going to hold you. Amen. It's like the prophet of God said. He said they asked him when he lost his wife and all these things happened to him, how did you keep your religion? He said, I didn't. It kept me. Amen. And I believe we got something that'll keep us. Amen. We're not going to be persuaded by this or that.
Right.
But the bride's going to be anchored.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say that to you, church. You know, as I was thinking about this coming over here today, is it seems like an hour that we're living in, we realize the last church age is the shortest age. Laodicea. But it's the most evil. Lukewarm. Laxed. Lazy. Soft. I'm on church. You know, you can't just, it's not just in the churches. You can see it in the world out there. I mean, everywhere you turn, everybody's short-staffed. You know why? Because nobody wants to work. It's a lazy generation. And if you say something that sounds a little rough, oh, they get offended.
Right.
Amen. Think about it, church. It all ties with the spirit of the age.
Right.
And they think, well, I go to church about once a month. Well, you know what? I think it's just easier to sit at home and live stream.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you. A part-time Christian can't overcome full-time devils. You ain't going to just coast in. It's going to be a fight every breath. You said, Brother Fred, that don't sound very, very encouraging. But the encourager is in you. The one that can overcome your battles. The one that fight every inch. And the one that is a champion that has never been defeated. He's the one that fights your battles for you. And what you've got to do is surrender all to Him. All to Him. You know, Brother Bram said this. He said, I was thinking about this in the office before I come out. I said, I remember Brother Bram said this very thing. He said, the problem, he said, what we've got to do is we have to master human ability. Master. We got to master it. Human ability. How are we going to do that? We got to surrender to Him. That's the only way you can. Because even Jesus, although He was a man, but He was also God. But He also had a will. Do you believe that? When He stood and the pressures come against Him of Calvary and all the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed, the Bible said, like great drops of blood. He said, Lord, would You just let this cup pass from me? I just, Lord, just let it pass from me. I mean, you know, we've been through cups. We've taken cups that's been passed to us that we would rather just bypass the cup. You know why? Because it's human nature to take the path of least resistance. Think about it. We don't want to go through that. Come on, church. I'm just honest. Be honest. I lost my mother this year in January. My wife just lost her daddy in November. I didn't want that cup. But I know on the other side, I got a mama waiting on me. See, that's the assurance part. And when they were fighting on this side, Brother Doug, they had a promise waiting for them on that side. So that promise that was over there is what was keeping them on this side. Church, I'm saying to you, we have a promise on that side, but it's on this side that we are receiving the promises of God. Are you with me? Oh, church, think about it. Every step. Now, army war, it's always been war. We never joined the church coming to church to come to a picnic. He said we must realize we are coming to a battleground. God told Joshua every place. It said every place. The soles of your foot treads upon. That I give you. So footsteps meant possession. When the church gets to a place, it compromises with creeds. And it compromises with the word. And compromises with the world. I mean, then it's losing ground. It's taken back. Too many are looking at the circumstances. Amen. When they all come back with an evil report, there's no way we can overcome.
That's right.
I mean, we're like grasshoppers upside of them.
Right.
Now you would say, well, brother, that must be God because there's all these many that's saying the same thing. But the Bible said it was an evil report. Because that's not what the prophet said. He said, I'm giving you this land. And it's flowing with milk and honey. And the grapes are so big that it takes two men to carry a cluster of them. And Joshua and Caleb said, that's exactly what we saw. And Caleb stood, Brother Brown said, he stood and he said, I want you people to be quiet. He said, we're more than able to take the land. See, they had a different report, didn't they? I want to ask you something tonight, church. What's your report? Come on, church. Don't get caught up in the atmosphere of Laodicea, because I'm going to tell you where she feeds on. She feeds on everything that's negative. You can turn on the radio. The news is negative. The news on the TV is negative. The news in the newspaper is negative. You know what it is? The world has gotten the people in a mindset to feed on negative. But the Spirit of Christ feeds on things that are victorious.
Amen.
Feeds on victory. Can you say amen? Things that are life-giving.
Right.
Oh, church, we need life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Life.
Amen.
Amen. You fight every square inch. I believe God's raising up soldiers.
Yeah.
Amen. That have the full armor.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what Paul told them?
Right.
Church, it's a spiritual warfare. Paul said to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you may be able to withstand all. Everybody say all.
All
the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen.
How are you going to do it? You got to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Well, Brother Freddie, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, I may not. But I want to ask you something. How big is your God? We look at history and show, oh God, we rejoice because you parted the Red Sea. We rejoice because you caused the walls of Jericho to fall down and you rained down manna and all these great miracles that you've done. Don't you believe he's the same God?
Amen.
That he opened the prison doors where Paul and Silas were in there? Don't you believe he's the same God?
Amen.
He's the same God. He's the same God. See, God's not limited.
Amen.
It's unlimited.
Amen.
You know, when you look around the world today, they got all these plans. Unlimited. Boy, it gets people's attention, don't it?
Yeah.
Hey, I can give you this cell phone, and it's unlimited. Oh, man. That sounds like a good deal.
Uh-huh.
Unlimited. But you know, well, they had to get that from somewhere.
Right.
We serve a God that's unlimited. And the prophet of God said, you can't exhaust God.
Amen.
It'd be like that little fish in the ocean thinking, well, I better drink of the water sparingly. Or I'm going to run out.
Right.
So see how silly that sounds? I mean, we've all been to the ocean. It's as much water as far as you can see. Any direction. So you can't exhaust God.
Amen.
Amen. How big is your God tonight, church? We got to keep focused. That's where people, you know, they lose focus. It's easy to lose focus in a trial. It's easy to lose focus in a test. When the scoffers come on. When the trials come against you, your family comes against you. Come on. Let's just look at it from a reality perspective here. Your family comes against you. Oh, now you're just in a place right where the devil wants you. You start feeling sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now the enemy can really talk to you.
Right.
What did he do to Brother Branham when he lost his wife and his baby?
Yeah.
Old devil talked to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You still preach that healer? He's a miracle worker. He took your wife. He took your baby.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Branham said everything the devil was telling me was true. And he said, all these things you may be telling me is true. But though God slay me, yet I'm going to trust him.
Amen.
Lord, the pressures are going to come against me, but I'm going to trust him.
Amen.
Now I say this to you. When you feel like you're standing all alone, he said, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the world.
Amen.
He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, church, you ain't going to find no friend like Jesus.
Amen.
You ain't going to find one that'll understand you like Jesus does. To understand the weight and the trial and the test you're going through. Because he said he knows exactly what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you this, church, to give you a little word of encouragement. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many is going through a trial and test right now? I wouldn't surprise me every hand in this building raise up. Because I'm going to say this to you. You're a child of God. You're going to be tried and tested. And I say this tonight, if you're not going through a trial, I'd be worried. If you're not being tested, I'd be worried. But I'm going to tell you, saints of God, to give you a word of encouragement. When you're going through the test, that's when the teacher's always quiet. The teacher's there. He's just going to be quiet. So just remember the teacher's there. Amen. He's there. But to know this, you know, I thought about this, thought it was... Because here we see a great wonder took place. Because in verse 15 we read as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan. And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now this was in the time of the spring. So all the mountains above them where they were at. We know what happens when the snow melts on the mountains. Well, all the streams flood. But the moment those priests stepped in that water, the water stopped.
Amen.
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 I would say that would be a mighty wonder, wouldn't you?
Amen.
That God stopped the waters. He stopped the flood waters. We sang that old song, you got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? For God specializes. I say he specializes in things thought impossible. And he can do what no other God can do. There's not a God in this world that can do what our God can do. Has he proved it to you, church? Time and time again, he's proved himself to be faithful. To be a faithful high priest, he is. Amen. And he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. We think in verse 17, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now we all know Brother Branham said Jordan was a type of death. Sin. It was flooded at its banks when they crossed. But they crossed because they had their eyes on the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Now how is this bride going to cross in such a wicked and perverse age? She's got her eyes on Him.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And as we step in, about to step into this 2026, you've got to have your eyes on Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what will happen if you don't. You're going to find yourself in a dangerous place.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Lord, we need you.
Amen.
They passed over on dry ground. I'd say that was a wonder.
Yes, sir.
A mighty wonder. Amen. You know, I thought it was very striking. In the midst of all unbelief, Joshua stayed faithful.
Yes, sir.
All the fear and everything that come against him, he stood faithful. In church, we live in an hour. Sometimes we wonder
Lord, how are we going to overcome? How can we overcome this? I mean, just pressure after pressure after pressure comes against us. But we know that we are right at the brink of the countdown.
Yeah.
Amen. We're in the astronaut age.
Yeah,
amen. God has given His elected a suit that can withstand the pressure.
Amen.
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 And the only way you're going to be able to withstand the pressure is get into Christ.
Amen.
That is the place that we must get into.
Amen.
That is the place that He's the one carrying us to our destination.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
You know, I remember hearing a story several years ago about a little, these several people was on this airplane. I don't know if I've ever told it here before, but this was a true story. And they was on this airplane, and they got into the clouds, and they got into a turbulence. A big storm hit, and the plane was just going all over the place. And I've been in airplanes, and I've been into a little turbulence, and didn't really get too nervous. But this was a pretty bad deal. They was in a bad storm, and the plane was just rocking. People was getting just upset and nervous. And watch this little boy. He was playing in the floor. He had a couple little cars, and he was just playing. Boy, just wasn't paying attention. Nothing was going on. Well, they finally got out of the storm and they got landed, and the guy that was sitting by the little boy, he asked him, he said, "Son, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Sure." He said, "Man, when everybody, all the chaos, we was in that storm and the turbulence and everything was hitting the plane," and he said, "rocking everywhere, and you just kept playing, didn't even worry about nothing." He said, "Well, was you not scared?" He said, "No, my daddy's a pilot. I wasn't worried about it." And I say this to you, church, you shouldn't be worried about it. Because God is the power. He's the one in control. Can you say amen? Oh, church, if we would just give Him control tonight, church, and see that He holds the stair. He holds the column. Amen. He is raising up, church. Oh, church, may we be soldiers of the cross tonight. That God's got a strategy. And we will win.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many believes that we're winners tonight?
Amen.
Church, you got to tell yourself over and over you're winners.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to tell yourself over and over and over until your body comes under subjection to your confession.
Amen.
Because just because you say you're a winner, that doesn't mean the devil's going to stop. He's probably going to come that much harder. But you keep telling Him, "I'm a winner in Christ. And I'm an adopted son or daughter of God. And I will overcome. And I will possess all that God has given me."
Amen.
So when your body, old Brother Bram said, your body will obey your confession. Testify you're an overcomer. Testify to it. Amen. You got to overcome. How many overcomers we got here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You got to break through the lines of the enemy.
That's right.
Amen. Breaking through the lines of the enemy. You know, I was reading this, Brother Doug. I don't know if you've ever read this book. It's a little short book called The Art of War. I'm going to read something to you from it. It's very good. The Art of War. It says here, "The Art of War teaches us to rely not on the likelihood of the enemy's not coming, but on our own readiness to receive Him." It's not if He's coming, it's when He's coming. Not on the chance of His not attacking, but rather on the fact that we have made our position unassailable. And the word unassailable, man, it definitely fits the bride of Christ. Amen. Unassailable means unable to be defeated.
Amen.
I like that. Nothing can alter. See, the devil's job is to alter the Word, making the Word of God of none effect. That's been his job ever since the beginning. To demote the powers of God. Amen. So you got to stay focused. But this bride is going to be unassailable.
Amen.
Amen. Cannot be defeated. Cannot be altered. To look at yourself just for a moment. Brother Branham said, talks about God's family album. He said, in God's family album, it's not the way you live now. Thank God for that. It's when you were at your best. Amen. God had a picture of you. How he saw you. Woo! It's not how nobody else saw you. It's how he saw you. And the devil has been working, trying to distort that image. To disfigure it in every way that he can. But he can't. It don't matter what he tries to do. He can't disfigure the prophecy of God. God had prophesied that you were his sons and daughters before the foundation of the world. And he had a picture of you in that great album. And nothing can erase that. I don't care how many diseases he puts on this body. Just remember this. This body's unredeemable anyway. This right here is unredeemable. It's going to go back in the dust of the ground. You can go all the way back in Genesis. This body was the serpent's meat. Right? It's a pest house. But see, that body that God has waiting. Oh, no. See, we're about to go to a place we've never been before. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. We ought to be getting excited that we're about to step into another dimension. And Brother Branham said, it ain't way out there somewhere. It's just right here. What are we? We're dimension walkers. We're just going to step into one dimension to the other, just like that. Bam. Brother Doug's an 18-year-old man. Huh? No gray hair. Me too. See? These are going to go too. They ain't going to need them in that new body. No. That body's going to be perfect. See, we're about to go to a place we've never been before. How many's ready? Amen. I don't know about you, but man, what a way to start the new year, Brother Doug, if we just rapture out of here. What would you think about that? Well, I got things to do, man. I don't. Not to compare to this. Can you say amen? Oh, I believe we need to be like that brother said. Brother Bam asked him. He said, brother, are you dying? He said, brother, I died a long time ago. Amen. We're just waiting. We're about to go to a place we've never been before. He was shaking hands with loved ones for what? 2 hours. They went across the other side. You know, I asked my father-in-law that when we had drove to Arkansas out, and when they called us in, said the family needs to come in if they want to see Brother Marty. And so we drove straight through, 24-hour drive to get there. And a few days, we went down there and saw him, and they said he hadn't said a word in, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, something like that. And I walked in, I said, he's laying in the bed. I said, hey, Dad, I love you. He sat up in that bed. He said, Freddie, I love you. I said, how long you been shaking hands with him? He just smiled. He was already there. Amen. Church, it's going to become a reality one day. All the times we've heard it preached, it's going to be a reality one day. That we're about to go to a place we've never been before. And we've experienced just a little bit of it here. Brother Bam said that healing in your body is a down payment that there's a body waiting for you. Amen. That little bit of joy that we feel when we're in a service and the Holy Ghost falls, that's just a down payment of what he's going to do, because I'm going to tell you, this body right here ain't going to be able to take it. This body here ain't going to be able to stand it. But that body will. There ain't going to be no 2-hour service, Brother Doug, and we're all looking, oh man, I need to get out of here. I got to go to McDonald's. We ain't going to worry about that. Right. Not in them bodies, we ain't.
Right.
And I know this young brother right here, I know he's waiting. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's any day now.
Amen, church. That's how soon it's going to be.
Amen.
Could you imagine the twinkling of an eye? Yeah. They said it can't even be measured.
Right.
That's pretty fast. Yeah. Just blink your eye. Think how fast that is. Like half of a second? So I don't know. Brother Doug's a scientist. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be quick.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
And we're longing to go there.
Yes,
I have a longing, don't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You love the Lord?
Yes.
And I love Him. I love Him more today than I did yesterday.
Amen.
And I'm going to love Him more in 2026 than I did in 2025. Because the longer I serve Him, and the more I love Him. The more He does for me. The more He reveals Himself. How many wants more revelation?
Oh, man.
That's what keeps you, church. That's what keeps you coming back.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Amen. More of you. I need more of you. Amen. Amen. More of you. We sing that chorus together. You know that chorus, more of you? If you musicians want to come, they can. I need more of you.
Hallelujah.
Can you sing a few? Can I sing a few, Brother Doug? All right. Okay. Amen. My Brother Doug's my pastor tonight, so I listen to him. Oh, more of you. I need more. I've tried it all, but what I need is more of you. Oh, of things I've had my fill, oh, but yet I hunger still. Above all nature.
above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders, this world is ever known, above all wealth and treasures of
the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. You believe that he thought of you above all? Amen. Amen. When he was hanging on that cross, actually when he was headed to the cross, what one of the things that helped him to stay true and that he had that vision, and what he saw on the other side of that cross was you. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, I am so thankful tonight that we have so many examples in the Word. And that was just one more example. You look at this and you think, my goodness, you couldn't make this up, you know. Children of Israel are probably wondering why. Well, why do we have to cross the Jordan? Why do we have to go over this certain spot? Why do we have to go behind the priests? Why do we have to follow the ark? Right? Why does Joshua have to be in charge? Right? And here you see it all playing out in our day, and you've got those shadow types that were perfectly fulfilled, you know, and they weren't even aware of what they were fulfilling, and yet God saw that it was perfectly fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Are you encouraged tonight? Amen. What a wonderful thought to share with us here at the end, you know, just going to a place we've never been before. Amen. But we're going by faith. Amen. And we're going God's provided way. Amen. And we know that it's going to work out. Amen. Well, we're going to change the order of the service here in just a moment because we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here tonight. And then we'll follow that up with washing one another's feet, knowing that Jesus said, as you do it unto the least amongst you, you're doing it unto me. And so it's an honor to... I'm glad that the Lord ordained, you know, it's one of the commandments. It's one of the few things that we were commanded, that this do ye in remembrance of me, right? And do it often in remembrance of me. And so we're going into another year, and Paul said, you know, speaking about life in general, he said, putting those things behind us, I press forward towards the mark, the high calling in Christ Jesus, right? Well, we're going into 2026, and as Brother Freddie said, I don't want to live 2025 over again, right? I don't either. You know, there are some years that we look back on more fondly than others, but all in all, you know, I used to, when I got into my teenage years and my 20s and 30s, I would look back at, you know, some of the times that I lived, and I would think, boy, wouldn't it be nice to go back and with what I know now and with the maturity that I have now and face that certain problem that just about knocked me over. Boy, bring it on, you know. I'm ready for it. But, you know, the longer you live, the more and more you realize, I don't want to go back and live anything over, you know. I want to live... Life is for the living, and I want to live what's before me and walk in what's before me. It wouldn't do me any good to go back. Yeah, maybe I'd have the satisfaction of, you know, feeling like nothing could blow me over, you know, I'm invincible or something like that. But, you know, there are victories that are ahead of us that we want to walk in. Amen. But one of the wonderful things about closing the chapter in the book of life concerning you, well, you know, there's a book of life. There's the book of Brother Freddie, right? And part of that book is going to be closed and new chapter opening up, right? Well, we're going to approach the table here tonight, and the wonderful thing about, you know, we can look back, and part of why we would like to go back and relive something is so that we wouldn't make the same mistake, right? Well, we don't have to go back and relive it. We can put it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, right? And we can do it with confidence. We can go into 2026, not have to look back into 2025. And we all make mistakes. We know that, but we're trusting in God, and we're trusting in the blood, and we're trusting in His grace. So as we approach the table here tonight, let's keep that in mind once again, that we don't want anything to... We want the Lord to go before us. We want everything before us. We don't want to be looking backwards, right? We don't want to be carrying things on our shoulders and carrying weight, as our brother said, you know. We want to lay it down. We're traveling light. And as our brother mentioned, we're not gonna take a bunch of baggage with us in the body change, right? Well, this is a good opportunity to unburden and unload, right? And just put aside anything that where there's a question mark, and press forward with a clear conscience, right? Praise His wonderful name. Well, I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us, right? And I'm expecting great things. Amen. I know that there's more trials to come if the Lord tarries. I know that. But I know the same one that brought me this far is going to take me through those trials, right? You believe that tonight? Amen. And I believe the same thing is true for you tonight. Amen. So let's pray for one another once again. And we'll just bow our heads here for a moment and just each one pray. Father, we're just so grateful tonight that we have this opportunity once again, Lord. And we know, Lord, that we should always, we shouldn't let a day go by, Lord. We shouldn't let moments go by. But when you bring things to our remembrance, we don't need to wait a month or 2 months or what have you to make it right. We don't need to go before a priest and confess, but we have a high priest, and we can take everything before you. And Lord, we want to be at the place, each and every one of us, where the very moment that we realize that we've done something wrong, and we know it's conviction is a tremendous gift. It's a tremendous blessing, because if you didn't convict us, we wouldn't even know that we were wrong. And if we don't know that we're wrong, whether we're sincere or not, if we don't know that we're wrong, we can't make something right. So we thank you, Lord, for that conviction. We know that you're not we have not the spirit to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We know that it's not condemnation, it's conviction. We were all condemned. We were all on death row at one time. But Lord, you paid the price to set us free. So we're thankful, Lord, for that conviction that you place on our hearts and bring to our remembrance. And Lord, we just ask that you give us the grace to, as soon as you bring something to our attention, may we just take it to the throne right away, not carry it around, but take it before you and put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Father, we love you. We love one another. And as our brother said, also tonight, Lord, he's speaking, of course, of unity in the entire body of believers that are on the face of the earth. We know that there will be that complete unity. When you come, that unity will be here for sure. Lord, may it be here in this local part of the body. May it be in other local parts of your body. Father, may your spirit move wherever two or more are gathered in your name tonight, Lord. Wherever your bride is gathered, Lord, may you move upon each and every heart. And Father, may we be quick to forgive. May we be quick to repent. May we be quick to forget. And may we press forward, Lord. What a privilege and an honor it is, Lord, and what a gift it is, once again, that you allow us to press forward and put things behind us. And Lord, you don't bring it up. You don't try and you shame us with something in the past, but it truly is put into the sea of forgetfulness. So help us, Lord, to approach it the right way so that it is put in the sea of forgetfulness, and then we don't have to look back on it either. We can go forward with a clear conscience and an unburdened heart. Father, we pray for one another, each and every one of us, Lord. Ministry praying for the body praying for the ministry, each one of us praying for one another, Lord. Tarrying for one another, Lord, asking that you would intercede on behalf of whatever the needs might be in the body. Each and every one, Lord, we know that there's healing in the cup too. So, Lord, as we approach tonight, we're in full expectation, Lord, that it's all good. It's all positive. And we'll leave in a better shape, better condition than when we came. Father, we love you. We love one another. We pray that you'd be with those that are listening in tonight, Lord. Those that will listen in. And Father, as those that are not with us, that are traveling, we pray that you'd be with them as well, Lord. And may you be honored and may you be glorified in every part of this local body is our prayer. And our visitors and our lovely brother and sister, Lord, that have joined us tonight, that have come down from Phoenix, their fellowship, Lord, their family, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, we pray. Bless them mightily, Lord, as they return back to their home tomorrow. And may you, may they be encouraged, Lord. May they be revived as well. Father, we've been blessed. May you give them a double portion of that blessing, we pray. To take back with them. And Father, as we approach the table here tonight, we know that these are symbols. We know that the wine is symbolic, Lord, of the life that was in that blood that was shed on our behalf, that life coming back into us by the Holy Ghost. And we know that the unleavened bread that we're going to partake of tonight, Lord, we know it isn't literally your body, but it's symbolic of the word that was given on our behalf. And Lord, as we take it within us, we ask that you would bless it to the goodness of our bodies, bless the hands that prepared it. Likewise with the wine, Lord, bless that to the goodness of our bodies, bless the hands that prepared it. But Lord, we do this by faith, Lord. We do this honoring the resurrection till you come. We do this honoring your death and burial and resurrection, honoring the life that was given for us, honoring your word, in obedience to your word, Lord. And Father, as we, it's already been said, but we just want to emphasize it once more, Lord. We don't want to carry anything. We want to lay everything down. We don't want to take anything into the new year. We don't want to do that any time that we come together for the Lord, the sacrament, as it's called, the Lord's Supper. We want to leave with a spring in our step. We want to leave with our heads held high. We want your spirit to fill us more and more and more. We want more of you, Lord. More of you and less of ourselves. So help us tonight, Lord. If there's anything at all that comes to mind, may we just make it right. We're confident tonight, Lord. You've given us your word that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and you're just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we have that promise tonight, Lord. And we're resting in it. I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray that each one would be strengthened. And Lord, we know that there are needs for healing in the body. We know that there are other needs, and then there are many needs that we don't know about, but you know all about it, Lord. So we're all looking to you and we're all trusting in you and, the author and finisher of our faith. So Lord, as we partake tonight, we're going to do it in faith, Lord, and we commit everything into your hands. And then, Lord, as we go to wash one another's feet, may you be with us, Lord, each and every one, and may we be mindful, Lord, of what you did 2,000 years ago, and then what you told your disciples to do. And the rest of us, Lord, we're your disciples as well. There were those that were with you at that time, and there are those of us that have come after, but we're all part of the same body, and we want to be obedient to that, Lord. So bless each and every one, minister to each and every one, Lord, as we commit ourselves into your hands, which is the safest place that we could possibly be. Bless each and every one, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.